Blog Talk Radio.
Well, talk about being all dressed up and no place to go. That would be me. I'm the cosmic epitome, the absolute epitome of being totally unprepared. Hello and welcome to any listeners out there who might be out there anyway. Welcome to the first installment of Shut Up and Listen since 2014, since November of 2014, having been out of the loop so long. And even now as we speak, I am having a heck of a time trying to get through to the computer so I can look at my studio screen for any callers who are interested in calling in. And as it is right now, I can't even give the call-in number. But in any case, I can wing it and talk, since this is basically a podcast that's going to be archived anyway. And I'm not even sure if there's going to be anybody listening. This is not my scheduled time of 11 o'clock like I normally have. But anyway, I'm your host, The Voice, broadcasting live out of New York City on this, the 31st of January, 2015. And to everybody out there, I'll say, welcome to 15, the year 15. Now, as it is, while I'm sitting here still trying to get my studio screen on the computer to work with me, which I'm making totally unsuccessful endeavors in doing here, and it's got me practically throwing in the towel on the whole thing right now. It's totally frustrating, and I thought I would be prepared for this today, but I'm not. And as the title to this week's show said, there's so much to talk about and so little to say about it. I don't know. There's just so much that has transpired over the last 3 months, I'll tell you. There's just been so much that has happened, and I don't know where to start, where to offer an opinion. My opinions, I'm not always sure, are valid. They are just my opinions. And I don't know where to start or what to say about so much of what's going down out here in society at large. I don't care if it's the stuff we're seeing in the sports world. I don't care if it's stuff we're seeing in local news. I don't care if it's stuff we're seeing in national or international news or the entertainment industry. It is a big cauldron of amusement / insanity. Now, someone I know once said, we are all insane anyway. The difference is between insane and crazy. So now I'm starting to wonder who's crazy and who's just insane. But I look at situations that have happened here recently. For instance, the recent spate of police incidents that took place across the country. Well, there were two here in New York that were not good. And one I'm not hearing a lot of about now. And that is the young man that was shot in the staircase by the frightened or spooked police officer in the stairwells of a dark, or in a dark stairwell in a project in Brooklyn. And we haven't heard anything else about that. But other than that, the takedown chokehold of, well, everybody knows that case, Eric Garner in Staten Island, and the man being acquitted, and the back end, the subsequent violence that took place, the subsequent protest, the noise, and the media coming out once again and playing it up and exacerbating the situation and making the people who are always ready for some kind of racial contention or some kind of verbal backlash, making it possible for them to come forward even more. And things got uglier than they should be. Things got uglier than it needed to be. But I still am adamant about, I still impenitently believe that a lot of this could have been avoided had there been a verdict to indict. I've been on grand juries, and I know you base it on what you hear. And it's a shame that what was presented to the grand jury was stuff that made them reach the decision that they reached, but there should have been a grand jury. And I feel this, even if it had been a grand jury and it went to trial and the policeman was acquitted or found not guilty, it still would have kept people fairly well abated because at least it went to trial. At least it went to trial. But instead it led to this, and then it led to this tragic shooting of the two police officers while they were sitting in their car, you know, and not doing anything, just simply sitting in their car. And, you know, it led to that and some other attacks on police officers, and it's a bad time when the police have to say that we need protection. But I guess it's a good thing to suggest to the public that, hey, police are human, too. They're not the supermen, are not tougher than everybody else on the block or bolder than anybody else on the block simply by privy of their job. No, no, it doesn't come off like that. And if I have pauses here in the meantime while I talk, understand that I'm still trying to get online here. That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm not meeting with a lot of success here. And I'm starting to find this, well, quite a bit frustrating. But if only I could see how to get into my studio, I would be very happy. But now I'm seeing something down at the bottom. It's an HTTP, you know, www. Blog Talk Radio, the week 2015. Well, the week 1-15. January 15th. We'll be right back. I don't get that. What's this saying? It's Blog Talk. I know I had problems with it before, and that's not to say I'm giving bad air to Blog Talk Radio while I'm on Blog Talk Radio here. But anyway, back to stuff we're going to talk about here. That's some of the situations we've seen out here this week. Now, back to Cosby again. More accusations. One woman wrote a letter in the Daily News, which is what I said I was going to do this week, called so much of this stuff from the papers, because that's where I get my ideas on what to talk about quite often, in addition to what I see. And if I don't write it down by the time it comes time to do this broadcast, I'm pretty much at a loss. But I am looking and thinking about how you know, Cosby came up again this week in conversation. And by the way, I think it's time for a statement to come from him, unless his defense team is really laying low and plotting and planning and scheming and really coming out with some big bombs to drop on people. And since he is in that world and his legal team, too, are in that world, are insiders, I would hope that this is what he and his defense team are planning on doing, because this is a lot of accusations here, boys and girls. This is a whole lot of accusations. And for him to just remain mute and go quietly into the night, to go gently into the limelight night like that, without any kind of backlash, without any kind of statements of any sort, and to just let it go at that, well, actually, it's starting to border on the bizarre, and in some ways, it's a little bit annoying now. It's to the point where you could say, well, why doesn't he say something? You know, say something. Do something, for crying out loud, you know? I don't know what's happening, so I would hope, since his team is so quiet, since his team is so mute, I would hope that what he is doing is laying mute until they can come out with some really earth-shaking, earth-shattering news about all these accusations and news that will finally rectify him, that will finally exonerate him. I would hope that that's what he's going to, that that's what he's going to do. In the meantime, one woman had written and said that her sister was, well, character actor of sorts, a SAG member, and she had known Cosby and had been on his old Cosby show. That's the one from 1968 or 69, shortly before I went in the Army all those years ago. And it was one of the first comedies I knew that didn't have a laugh track in the back. And I had liked it. I thought it was good. And I was glad to see it again on one of the cable channels. I think it was Aspire. And they were still putting it on. I'm not sure whether it's still on now or not. But anyway, this lady had been on his show and also, I think, on the Cosby show itself, the really big one. And she had said that she didn't believe half the accusations. This is what the woman's sister was writing that her sister had said. And, of course, somebody wrote then, well, does that mean that the other half of the accusations are true? But she's this woman, anyway, had went on to say that her sister said she knew Cosby at the time. And she had been to his house, met the family, met the kids, been there for dinner. He was most accommodating, most gracious, just an all-around nice guy, friendly host, which is what I had always hoped for him to be, as I had said before. I had seen him in person. Well, I've seen him in the street also. But I just am now just... Well, I guess a lot of people are flummoxed because of all these accusations, and we haven't heard anything from him other than his comment. And I don't think it was totally helpful for him to make the comment about drinking, as he had made at the concert. I think it was in Florida. He had made the comment about, you heard it's not safe to drink around me. So now... A lot of people thought that was a harmful statement on his behalf, for his image. And I don't think it was the best, because either he knows stuff that he's going to tell people about the truth, or he's making a statement that he's not taking the whole issue seriously, even if he did it. In either case, I hope something surfaces. I hope something comes forward with that. I sincerely do. In the meantime, we're just, people are still just waiting. We haven't heard anything from his defense team or anybody of that sort. Now, while we're on those subjects, a couple of weeks ago, concerning the Academy Award nominations, some people were complaining. I don't know if it was in the wake of the new movie, Selma, you know, the one about the march on Selma, Alabama, the march led by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. I don't know if it was a reference to that not being nominated for an Oscar, but anyway, there were some complaints that there was no black representation, i.e. no black films in the Oscars this year. Now, there were some last year, okay. I mean, look at the stuff that won last year. Look at the films that won. Look at the actors that got knocked and nominated and awarded last year, in fact. Now, my viewpoint is that doesn't mean that there has to be, that there absolutely has to be a black picture in the running any more than there has to be a Latino picture in the running. It has to be based on what the Academy considers is worthy, and to a good degree what the critics and what the viewers consider is worthy. So I'm not taken aback because they had won. And hey, listen, we've had black people win. We've had Halle Berry win. We've had Denzel Washington win. We've had more than one person that's black win the supporting actor awards as well. You know, and that's good. And that's promising. And back to Cosby again. He had made a statement once before. He never went to the Academy Award presentation. But I don't know fully, him being in that industry and knowing a lot, I don't know fully what he based it on. I know that during that time, I mean, when he made that statement, there were black films, but they were mostly the black the exploitation films, most of which weren't worthy of any nominations except, in my opinion, the schlock nomination. I mean, when I first went to see these movies at an Army, I had big expectations. I expected these will really, somewhere, really grand, convincing, authentically done movies, but most of them were simply horrible. Clichés, caricaturized. It was, badly written, not convincing. They just weren't, they were just fantasy comic books of sorts to make people stand up and cheer. And people loved them, but I'm saying, I'm looking at junk here. But anyway, back to what I was talking about in reference to that, what I was saying was that just because there were none nominated this year, you don't know what's going to be nominated next year, you don't know what's going to be out there in the years to come. You see, it does happen. It can happen, that is to say, black films starring black people, about black people, made by black people, can make it to the Academy Awards. This is what you had last year. It's what you'll see again at some time, but you can't say, hey, nothing was put in there this year. I mean, it's not, I don't think, a conspiracy. I don't think the Film Academy gets up and says, well, let's see, how can we keep black films out of the running? What can we do? This is the only thing we have to think about. How can we just keep black films out of the running? I had one friend of mine, he said, well, you never see a black film with 4 stars. It's always 3 at the most, and he said, besides, the film reviews come from just one single place. And I said, no, they don't. You can get a magazine. You can read a review in a magazine. You can read a review in several newspapers. And quite often, different critics will rate a movie drastically different from some other critics. I've seen, movies where some have said, hey, it's great. You pick up another paper and you read a review and they say, it wasn't bad. Another one say, it could be better. And some say, this is just simply horrible. I mean, it's blah, blah, this, it's that, it's, exploitative, it's gratuitous, it's plagues, it's panders, it placates, so on and so forth. All kind of things that people will say about the one same movie. Now, my whole reaction to people saying there were no black films nominated for the Oscars this year is, what? I mean, are they supposed to be wrapped? It's not going to be good if the Film Academy becomes held sway by affirmative action. That doesn't improve the quality of the nominations for movies. I mean, there are a lot of things. I mean, I've seen movies and I've said, oh, come on now. But then I haven't seen all the movies. I just wondered sometimes why some things were nominated, why some things were listed. I mean, I can go back. I can say 42, the movie with Chadwick Boseman about Jackie Robinson. And while I didn't see all the Academy nominations that particular year, I still wonder why Harrison Ford, to the best of my memory, didn't at least get nominated for a supporting actor role. And I, you know, don't know what criteria they use, but I thought he was great. But I'm not going to say, oh, he should have gotten it. A lot of people will only see one or two movies and then, oh, that movie was great. It should have gotten an Oscar. And I can't say that. I haven't seen all the movies. I don't know what all the movies were comprised of. I will generally see all these Oscar-nominated movies later on when they make it to premium. Years ago, and this is something we don't do too much anymore now, and that is to say, go to the video store, like we used to. I mean, I haven't been to one in quite a while because practically everything now comes on demand. If not pay-per-view, it's all on demand by the time it comes out to the non-movie consumption level, that is to say, on those Tuesdays when they come out to premium channels and when they come out to the video stores and the regular stores that you can buy them. I mean, I just walked into a store yesterday. It was a Target, in fact. And here I see Fury on the shelves already. So I'm saying to myself, you know, here at this point, this is the only time I look at so many of the Oscar-nominated movies when they come on, and I say, yeah, well, I can see why that was elected or why that was nominated, or I can't see why that was nominated compared to this other movie. Eventually, I see them all before a year and a half or so is up. Eventually, I will have seen them all, the nominees. But speaking of now, Chadwick Boseman, and I'm not talking about Chadwick Boseman, I'm just talking about playing historical people or playing black characters. I find it interesting now that, well, Chadwick Boseman is an American, but I find it interesting now that so many of the black actors out here now playing historical or real black people or winning the Oscar nomination are people from Africa, who don't always have any commonality with black American history. You know? I mean, you got Lupita Nyong'o. You got Chiwetel Ejiofor. You got, I forget his name now, another, and they're not only African, they're English. The actor's name is going to be playing King. You understand. Okay, this will give him a viewpoint and an insight and a look into the black experience, but I always felt that one of the mistakes that we as black Americans have always made is trying to get other black people to look at, well, quote, the black experience, unquote, from our perspective. I'm saying expective. Boy, I'm blowing it. And this working without a computer is really making it hard for me, and my time is running out already. But anyway, yes, this is what I feel that we do quite often, try to get people to look at black life from our perspective. And while we influence black, while we influence culture around the world like no other black people do, I understand that Quincy Jones once said, we're the most, you know, influential, or the journalist Stanley Crouch, who I miss, by the way. I haven't seen him in the Daily News. I haven't heard about him. I'm going to have to look up that and see what he's doing now. But he once said we're the most remarkable black people on the planet, and I believe that. But now, here, we have an abundance, you know, of African actors. And I'm not saying it's bad or it's wrong or it's right. I just find it ironic, and I just find it odd. You know, I mean, what is it? There's no shortage. I mean, there's a shortage of black American actors or whatever. It just strikes me as odd. That's all. And on that note, I would say that this is what it is. Let that go this year. I mean, you've been dealing with the Academy Awards for years, and, you know, you see them get better and better. And this is what we are getting here now, is this kind of feedback from the public about there being no black films. But, you know, that was this year. That was this year. It's not the last time that you saw a black film with black stars or or even be for black people. It's not the last time you're going to see the Academy Awards, but it doesn't mean it has to be that way every year. So get past that. This is my opinion. This is my viewpoint. Now, on that note, since I say I'm working in the blind here, and since I am working in the blind, I'm going to end this podcast because I couldn't put it on and say, hey, I'm broadcasting now on Blog Talk Radio or anything of that sort. And I'm going to check to see if this thing was actually recorded. I will do this again at some point next week. As I say, my schedule time was at 11 o'clock, but I don't think I'm going to be doing the 11 o'clock podcast. I will do them at any time now. So if anybody is listening, I'll just say, just log on to the show. And that is Shut Up and Listen 2. That's the number 2. Shut Up and Listen 2 on Blog Talk Radio. And until my next broadcast sometime next week, I wish everybody a good day. And by the way, Super Bowl tomorrow, I forgot to talk about that. And I really am glad Richard Sherman is expecting his baby, him and his lady. But I think that it's going to be some, it had to be some negotiation for him not to play tomorrow here, cornerback, as much needed as he is in Seattle, and as vital and as crucial as he is, and he's going to take off to have a baby. Well, I guess it's kind of a hard argument, the one that even the NFL can't win. And he's going to maybe not play. I'm torn between both teams tomorrow. All I'm looking forward to, as to use some people say, all I'm looking forward to is a good game. So for all the people watching the Super Bowl tomorrow, enjoy it. I know I intend to. I fully intend to. And I haven't watched a whole lot of football this year. Not as much as I have in previous years, the playoffs and all of that. But I'm always there for the Super Bowl anyway. So for all people watching it, once again, I say enjoy it. And once again, everyone have a good day and a good upcoming week. And until the sometime next, not this time, but sometime next week. Well, not possibly this, but probably this time. Sometime next week. You've been listening to Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host of voice, broadcasting here out of New York City on this January 31st, 2015. And to all, have a good day.